Again, good to see each one of you here this morning, and invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And then also we're going to be going over to Matthew chapter 10. James chapter 1, Matthew chapter 10. James chapter 1, verse number 12, we want to look at, and then we're going to be heading over to Matthew chapter 10, reading a verse there. Our brother writes, and the word of the Lord unto us in James chapter 1, verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, our Lord Jesus here teaching. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 22, and he says this, and ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. With the Lord's blessing this morning, I want to preach a message, the perseverance of the saints. Perseverance, the perseverance of the saints, the evidence in the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we pray that you bless. We thank you for the way you've blessed already with your word and being able to sing unto you and pray unto you. Father, we thank you so much for prayer, how we can call. You've made it so that we can call in the name of our God, and Lord, you do hear. Lord, you tell us as children, Heavenly Father that is there with our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, making intercession for us. What a blessing that is. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us now. Fill us with your word and your spirit. Give us understanding and application of your word to our hearts and lives. Help us to live for you and be a good witness of you and what you've done for us to others. And we pray, Father, for sinners at hand that are without Christ, Lord, that you'd save them and make them your own. Lord, you're able, and we look to you for it, and we pray that you would work. Bless the preaching of your word, Father. We know you've promised that it will not return unto you void. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide it, handle it well, and, Lord, speak to us and teach us in it and through it. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake, and amen. Here we read Apostle James writing this about the one that endures temptation. And this temptation, I think it's a twofold thing, and Lord willing, I want to bring a message about that. There is that trying that the Lord does in the trying of the saints. And then there is that temptation that the great tempter tempts people, tempts mankind, saints and sinners alike. And the Lord says here, and the Scripture says here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, the one that endures these trials, these temptations in life. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then our Lord Jesus says, but he that endureth to the end, endureth temptation, endure trial, to the end shall be saved. And understand, it'll be an evidence, it'll be a token that they are saved because they have kept the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ until the end of their days when our Lord calls them home. The perseverance of the saints, the evidence of the Scriptures. First, we need to get something straight, and this subject is so interwoven with the others that we've considered. We've looked at total depravity and the unconditional election of our Lord. We've looked at the limited atonement or the particular redemption, that the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ was for his people and his people alone. And then we've taken a look at the irresistible grace of the Lord. When the Lord moves upon a sinner and a soul, sinners may rest and sinners may struggle and may wrangle, but there is no resisting God because his spirit is above all and he has all power. But in this perseverance of the saints, it's really it's really, with these others being true, as we've looked into the scriptures, it's one that's just going to follow along. It's really, it's very simple that this would be the case, that the Lord's people will be faithful to Him and to the end. Now, we're going to take a look at a detail of that, but they will be faithful unto the Lord, and we'll take a look at how that is. But first, let's consider about everlasting life. I think this is connected with this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, let's take a look over here. Let's look at this subject of everlasting life and understand how this is. There are those that don't believe in the perseverance of the saints. There are those that believe that people can be saved and then lose their salvation. That they will fall away from the standpoint of their soul falling away, or falling away from grace, as some would say. And the thing is those things are misunderstood when they're misapplied that way, because if God is not understood, if sin is not understood, and Brother Doug has just finished up a lesson about the attributes of God, if God is not understood, sin is not understood, the depravity of men is not understood, then the work of God is misunderstood. And then we'll misunderstand this about the perseverance of the saints. So it is all interconnected. And something that we need to understand is this about everlasting life. Look here in Isaiah 40. And a great transition here in Isaiah chapter 40. And we read here, and it tells about the John the Baptist coming and the Lord Jesus coming and all that. And we see here in verse number 28, let's read this. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. God is everlasting. He's always been. He always will be. And you know, we need to get a handle on that. And we who are saved, we do have a handle on that to some extent. But as Brother Doug mentioned, our brother preached there at the monthly fellowship meeting at Julian Baptist Church Friday. You know, we need to get an understanding of the holiness and the everlastingness of God, who we are dealing with and who is dealing with us. Well, we really need to see the glory of our Lord. We do. It'll help us. It'll change us. It'll stir us. But He is an everlasting God. Understand that. The everlasting God. Not a, but the. In Romans chapter 16, as the apostle deals with this church, he writes to them in verse number 26 of Romans 16, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Speaking about Jesus Christ and His gospel, He's been made known by the everlasting God. Everlasting, an everlasting God. How is it with an everlasting God and those that He would visit, those that He would touch, those that He would choose, those for whom He sent His Son? How is it that He would work? We so much, as Brother mentioned, we so much want to bring God down to our level. Mankind does. I tell you what, we need to look to ascend to Him. We need to look up to Him, and we need to move and go towards Him, not drag Him down here with us. In John 3:16, you know the verse, one of the most known verses that ever has been. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. An everlasting God only gives everlasting life. It's just the way that it is. Listen to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He amens Himself, and He's worthy of it, and have the keys of hell and of death. What kind of life does an everlasting God give? Well, He only can give everlasting life. It's the only kind of life He has, and that's what He gives. Our Lord Jesus in John chapter 6, speaking to that free lunch crowd, he says unto them, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Now, what's that mean? He won't lose most. He won't lose 99.9%. See, a problem just becomes with just taking the words for what the words are. Nothing means nothing. But should raise it, listen to this, but should raise it up again at the last day. Again, an everlasting God only gives everlasting life. Perseverance of the saints. Show me one person in the Scripture that has lost their salvation. Okay, and understand this perseverance of the saints is that the saints will continue on and will be faithful, and we'll take a look at that, will be faithful unto the Lord to the end of their days. Okay, that's what the subject it deals with. But it's so connected to these other things. Show me one person in the Scripture that lost their salvation, that the Lord lost, that were saved and got out of the hand of the Lord. You think about the pattern in the Scripture. You know, we learn from the Scripture by direct command. We learn from the Scripture by example. And then we learn from the Scripture also by allegory, okay, and that is given. And we have to be careful in allegory and sense, okay, that we don't go the wrong way. But that's the way we learn from the Scripture. Tell me one person. One person in the Scripture that's described and told by, that they lost their salvation. They were saved by the Lord, were the Lord's people, and then went away from it. Tell me one. Show me one. We are told and warned about everything wonderful and terrible in the Scriptures. We are told about the way of salvation, and we're told about the way of damnation. Right? Doesn't God give us the full spectrum? So then, would not God in His Scriptures tell us about one that could lose everlasting life given by Him? Wouldn't it be there as a warning? But it's not, is it? There's not one account. You can't list one account. Yet we are not told. We're not told about one person that has not been kept by our Lord that He has touched. In John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. As he's there going to Gethsemane, he's not at Gethsemane yet. I want to read a few words, and this chapter that is this prayer of our Lord has so many things related, and there's so many things I hadn't seen how far that this went, and this about the perseverance of the saints continuing on in faith unto the Lord and to the end of their days, how it's so tied to other things. But it is. And we can't touch all of that this morning, okay? So I feel like I'm going to do a poor job in dealing with the subject, but, you know, we need to get along, and maybe another day we'll take a look at it in greater depth. But look here what Jesus says in John chapter 17, John 17, verse number 10. Listen, "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine," he prays to the Father. "So all that are the Father's are his, and all that are his are the Father's, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee." There's going to be a separation. He's going on to be with the Father. "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Do you see anybody getting out of that? Is it contingent upon anybody? This is dialogue between the Son and the Father about us. We are saved, the saints. You see any action about the saints coming into this? It has nothing to do with it, does it? Nothing. 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 Verse number 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Aha! There's one. Tell you what, don't drag God down to where we're at. And I've told you, and this thing about Judas, I've had an interest sparked in me about this. I want to understand this about Judas. I want to tell it right. I want to preach it right. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that this thing about Judas is past. I am. Because Judas was a man appointed by God to this condemnation. He was. But that's past. And I praise God it wasn't me. Because it could have been me. It should have been me. But praise be to God, it wasn't. So now that being passed, one man ordained to that, what about the rest? Any other lost? Any other slip out of the Father's hands? Judas didn't slip. He never was saved. Okay, understand that. He never was saved. Never had faith in Christ. Oh, he was called. He was called. Don't get in a straight in your brain about that. He was called. He was ordained to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Even being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ is not salvation. Understand that. I think that's part of the reason that not even being a disciple, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ that walked with him for 3 years, having been baptized by John the Baptist, you know, if you're going to be baptized by somebody, who do you like to really, who you think the best baptism would be? That's a loaded question, but I mean, John the Baptist baptism was of God Almighty directly. Didn't save that man. Being an apostle didn't save that man. You know what saves sinners? Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to a sinner, that's what saves a sinner. No amount of doctrine, no amount of orthodoxy, no amount of religion saves a sinner, but Jesus saves a sinner. Through His gospel, through His shed blood, His power to save. So Judas was never saved. Judas was never saved. But I tell you what, all those that the Father has given to the Lord, listen, He speaks about them as if it's a done deal, doesn't He? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Are you saved? That's you too. None. Now, does none mean most or very many? Lost none. Lost none. Show me one person in the Scripture that has lost his salvation. I'll tell you what, in the next consideration, let's take a look over here at 2 Peter chapter 2. You know what? There is a range of perseverance. There is a range of perseverance. What do you mean about that, Brother Jim? Well, let's take a look here in the Scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we come here to verse number 6. The salvation of the Lord and false prophets, okay? The deliverance of the people of God from the wicked way of the world and the false prophets and the false teaching of the world. The deliverance of the Lord's people is what the subject is. Verse number 6 of 2 Peter 2. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. Okay, the Lord made a judgment about sodomy, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly. It's an example, and it should be heeded. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, temptations by Satan in the world, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, there's a range of perseverance. You know what we're told right here? That Lot did persevere, but it was so sorry that you and I need to be told that he did to the end. Not a good witness that Lot has, is it? But he's the Lord's. He did persevere. He is with the Father now. Because we've got the apostle of the Lord filled with the Holy Spirit of God telling us so. I tell you what, that's the only proof that we have. There's a range of perseverance. What was Lot's problem? What was Lot's problem? Lot's problem was just akin to what the brother preached Friday night. He preached in Exodus about Moses and the children of Israel, how it was that they, when Moses was up on the mount the first time, and how they made the golden calf and they worshiped the calf. Aaron made that calf and said, here's your gods that delivered you out of Egypt. And they sinned, and Moses went back down and he saw their sin, and the Lord had told Moses about it. Well, he was on the mount the first time. Moses broke the tables of stone, and on the way down, where the Ten Commandments were written, and then Moses goes back up, and you know what? He intercedes for the people. And the Lord, and it's very interesting what the brother brought out. The Lord blessed him greatly. It's a very good thing. It's a very blessed thing that he revealed there. The Lord revealed and showed unto him. It's right there in black and white, but you just don't see things sometimes. You know what the Lord told Moses at that time? The Lord told Moses, he said, I'm going to keep my covenant. I'm going to take them into a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to give them everything that I've told them I'm going to give them, but I'm not going with them. It's right there in black and white. I hadn't seen it that way before. He said, I'm going to make good on my promise, the Lord says. But there are rebellious, stiff-necked people. I'm going to make good on it, but I'm not going with them. You know what Moses said? Moses said, they've done a great sin. They've made them gods of gold. He said, please forgive them. And if you don't forgive them, blot my name out of your book. And the Lord says, I'll do the blotting. Moses says, don't send us anywhere. Don't send us from this very place right here if you don't go with us. Father, please go with us. Lord God Almighty, if you don't go, please don't send me. Moses wanted the presence of the Lord. Moses wanted the presence of the Lord. He wanted the Lord. As the brother pointed out, he said, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of children of God, a lot of Christians that make that deal with the Lord. You can have the stuff. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you like I promised that I would. But you just won't have me. Whew. Boy, I tell you what, that's sorry, isn't it? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to get our priorities right. Moses says, he intercedes for him. He says, we need your presence. I want your presence. And you know what? He doesn't stop with that. The Lord says, okay, I'll go ahead and go with you, but I'll deal with this sin. I'll deal with this sin along the way. Because remember, the reason they went for 40 years was not what happened at Sinai with the golden calf, but was because they failed to go in when the Lord told them to go in. So remember that. Keep that in right place. He said, I'll deal with them in Canaan, is what the Lord said at that time. And you know what Moses said then? He said, Lord, your presence with us, that's what we need, but Lord, I want to see your glory too. I want you, Lord. I want all of you that I can have. And the Lord told Moses, he said, you can't see me and live. But I tell you what, I'll give you what you can stand. Isn't that something about prayer? James tells us in that book that we read, he says, we don't have because we don't ask. And you know what we need to be asking for? Is we need the presence and the manifested glory of our Lord. I tell you what, it'll change us. It'll convert us. It'll help us to serve our Lord with confidence in this wicked and evil day. I tell you what, Lot's perseverance was pretty sorry, wasn't it? You remember in Judges, we turn over here to Judges chapter 13. You remember this man. It says in verse number 24, as the angel of the Lord had declared, and the woman, Judges 13:24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and was blessed, and the Lord blessed him. Listen, And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Here's another man that's saved. Got the Spirit of God living within him. Huh? You know all about his account. He has the vow of the Nazarite upon him. Not supposed to come at any dead body. What's he do? Goes over there and messes around with a lion that he killed. After he killed it, that was one thing. Going back and dealing with the honey that was in the lion was another. Was a lustful man. Followed his eyes, right? Brother Mark, you brought a study about Samson. Okay. He started looking around at not women in his own tribe, not women in Israel, but the inhabitants of the land. Started following his eyes rather than following the call of the Lord upon him. What it'd do? It'd get him in trouble, get him in bad situation. He's sinning against the Lord. We will fast forward all the way up. The Lord uses him. The Lord's called him. Lord uses him. Gets all the way to Delilah, a woman he should have had nothing to be doing with. Not honoring to his parents. His father said, "Don't you always want these other women? Can't we get a woman, get you a wife from among the tribes like the Lord has said?" And he said, I want her. Like a big child throwing a fit. I want what I want. That's what he did, right? Dishonored his parents in that. Dishonored the Lord. Ends up over there with Delilah. She keeps leaning on him and leaning on him and nagging on him and leaning on him to where his soul was just like, I tell you what, wives, don't be a nag to your husband. And husbands, listen, treat your wife good. Treat your wife the way the Lord would treat your wife. That's all we got to do. Boy, it's a tall order, isn't it? And wives, don't be a nag to your husband. Treat your husband the way the Lord would treat his spouse, his wife. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. I tell you, but she didn't have the heart of the Lord. She didn't have the way of the Lord. She didn't have the spirit of the Lord. All she wanted was what the Philistines wanted, was to compromise Samson. Found out the secret about his strength, cut his hair. He couldn't roust up like he did at other times. He's held captive in bands. And they take him and they put him out there for sport. That's a sad case, isn't it? But he followed his eyes. He followed the way of the world. See how important it is to get these accounts in our hearts and minds? Do you know the account of Samson? Do you know about the account of Samson? See how important it is for these accounts to be in our hearts and to give these accounts in the Scripture, these true accounts of the Scripture to the children, to our hearts, our children's hearts, to put them in their hearts and minds. And Samson's sad end. We'll fast forward to what? To chapter 16. We come over here to chapter 16 of Judges. And in verse number 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one on his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. You know, and it's a subject for another time. His attitude and his way about this. It doesn't thwart the purpose and plan of the Lord in any way. But what a terrible way for a child of God to go out with even a sorry attitude of vengeance. And he was a judge in Israel, okay, so there's an element that's there. But you know what? He had faith in the Lord at the end, didn't he? He did. Brother Joseph, from Genesis chapter 30, where it says, and she called his name Joseph when he was born and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. all the way to Genesis chapter 50, where the scripture says in verse number 26, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You think about the life of Brother Joseph. Not one word of rebuke. Not one word of displeasure by the Lord. But a man faithful to the Lord. Amen? A man that looked to the Lord in his distress. A man that endured the trials and endured the temptations. He endured the trials from the Lord for the purpose of saving much people, right? And he endured the temptations of Satan through old Potiphar's wife and otherwise. And you know what? He was faithful. He persevered, didn't he? His faith was in the Lord. And he even told about how it would be where the children of Israel would be carried, would be taken, would be brought by the Lord out of Egypt and to take his body with them. Well, I tell you what, there's a range, right? There's a range of perseverance in there. What do you want to be? You want to be a Joseph? You want to be a Lot? You want to be a Daniel? Or you want to be a Samson? You want to be a Noah? Or you want to be a Job? What do you want to be? I tell you what, salvation is of the Lord. But the Lord has equipped us with everything we need to serve and follow Him. And you know what? It's on us to do it. It's on us to seek His face and by His power to do it. Oh, we need Him. But I tell you what, we need to be speaking to Him about how much we need Him to live for Him. Because we cannot do it in and of ourselves. In Hebrews chapter 11, you know this chapter. I trust you know this chapter and the contents of it. We look here at the perseverance of the saints, don't we? And how did they persevere? I tell you what, it started their lives truly started with faith in the Lord. And you know what? They persevered by faith in our Lord. From Brother Abel, Brother Adam, Sister Eve, Brother Enoch, Brother Abraham, Brother Jacob, Brother Joseph, as we've mentioned, Brother Moses, right? And we come to verse number 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. You know, Gideon started off good, but ended up sorry. An ephod that the children of Israel worshipped after his death. But that says he persevered. Good at the beginning and sorry at the end. But you know what? He was the Lord's. He persevered. How did he persevere? Well, at the beginning he persevered well. At the end he persevered poor. Goes on to say here of Barak. I tell you what, you and I, with the wimpy way that Barak pleaded with Deborah to go with him into battle, you and I would think that he wouldn't even show up and be mentioned again. His behavior was sorry. Just like our service and our walk with our Lord can be sorry. You know what? He persevered. He saw the power of the Lord. And you know what? Maybe from then on, I trust from then on, when he saw the power and the hand of the Lord and how it was, you know, don't get all tore up about Deborah being a prophetess in the land. Don't get tore up about that, because that was of the Lord. You know why? It's an indictment upon men that there weren't any men in the shape enough for the Lord to call. See, when women are just as sharp and just as able as we are, fellas. But the Lord has set an order. And you know what? We're to be spiritual enough and in tune with our Lord enough to handle the affairs that the Lord's laid us charged with. But you know what? When the women have to raise up and take hold of that and do it, it's an indictment upon us. Because the Lord's made an order. When women aren't less, they have their place, and they have their directive by God, and they have a blessing in store for them in obeying their Lord just like we do. But who would have ever thought Barak would have showed up, huh? But he did. He persevered. And Samson. There's Samson. He persevered. It was sorry all along the way, wasn't it? Then forth the Lord using him. What, he was a judge for 20 years? 20 years. We read that in a handful of chapters and we think, boy, whew, glad that's over. It was went on for 20 years, his disobedience. But he persevered. Because why? He's the Lord's. He's the Lord's. And of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. In conclusion, understand, brothers and sisters, as we turn to Ephesians chapter 2, perseverance of the saints is all wrapped up in faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, the favor of the Lord, by faith in Him, and that not of yourselves, the grace nor the faith is a gift of God. Not of works, because otherwise you and I would be bragging about it. But our Lord saves us, He visits us, He's called us, He's elected us, He's made us His own. And you know what? He brings us all the way. Faith is given unto us to believe. To believe and receive and trust in Christ. But you know what? Once we are a possessor of faith, we need to continue to exercise our faith in our Lord. Understand, faith is not this thing that stands by itself. It's always faith in God. Faith in Christ, faith in Him and His Word, what He said, what He's promised, what He tells us, what He commands us, what He has laid in store for us, what He has told us to obey Him in, and the punishment if we don't obey. It's all there, faith in Him. Do we really believe Him or do we not? Perseverance of the saints is all about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This great gift that we have of faith in our Lord, listen, we don't need to let it just sit there. But I tell you what, we need to exercise it. And when our Lord exercises us, we need to understand what it's for. That's what James talks to us about. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, those that are saved, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, just like John 3:16 declares. We have an eternal God. He gives eternal life. It's the only thing that He can do. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Wait a minute, I already believe. You need to keep on believing. You need to keep on believing. You know what? There are those that say they believe, but they don't keep on believing. They never believed at the beginning. See, perseverance of the saints is a manifestation that they do have faith in God. And there's scriptures that are misunderstood. And again, that's the subject for another time. And I pray that the Lord would bless that we can address that sometime. But see, saints that begin their spiritual life, salvation by the Lord, that begins by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, continues on the rest of this time by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're saved, you're saved. I'm not talking about a progressive salvation. But you know what? A sinner that has been saved through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to keep on doing the same. Going to keep on repenting. Going to keep on having faith in the Lord. They're going to persevere to the end. Samson, when he was brought to the end of himself, lost his strength, lost his eyes, lost everything he had. He said, "Oh Lord God, hear me." Amen. He looked to his Lord. His life was sorry, and he had much regret, but he persevered to the end. See, as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Not to have an opinion of my own, but that my opinion and my thought and my way is that of my Lord's. Humility of a child. To believe what the Lord says. No ifs, ands, or buts. Remember, understand how the Lord Jesus Christ refers to us, and even to the disciples, and we learn this through them. In Matthew chapter 6, I want you to turn over there. Matthew chapter 6. Look there what the Lord says about saving faith. Oh, it's there. It's present. But look what the Lord says about saving faith. This thought was a surprise to me. It was. I'm just being honest with you. Listen. Wherefore, there in the Sermon on the Mount, The disciples are at hand. The multitude are at hand. And what's he say here in verse number 30? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Saving faith is a little bit of faith. Oh, it's the faith that we need. It's been given by the Lord. But Jesus says, you that are saved, you're worried about being clothed and all that. Look at what he does with the grass. Oh, ye little faith. He goes on to say in Matthew chapter 8, there is the apostles. Are the apostles saved? All of them but Judas. Okay? 11 of the 12. What's Jesus say to them in verse number 8? And I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew 8:26. And he said unto them regarding the waves being boisterous and they're afraid that they're going to die. Verse number 25, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? It's a little bit of faith that we have in salvation. It's faith. And it's necessary. And it's a gift by the Lord. In verse number, or chapter number 16, chapter 16. Verse number 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? And this is talking about the Lord telling them, feed them. Do it. Feed them. We don't have enough money. Can't buy that much bread. What are we going to do? The Lord says, feed them. So, okay, feed them. So, Lord, bless this. We're going to pray that you turn this stuff here into bread. But they didn't. He says, you got little faith. Oh, you got faith. Got a little faith. Very little. Got faith. Saved. Were these fellows saved? Yeah. And the Lord said they had little faith. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 32, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, faith can waver. Our Lord told Peter, he said, I'm prayed for you that your faith fail not. I want to look into that more about all that that's talking about. But certainly Peter's faith in the Lord Jesus wavered, didn't it? He doesn't want me to fight in the garden. I tried to go after it and cut that guy's ear off. He says, don't do that. He's willing to submit himself to them to take him. I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. It's all about faith in Christ. And a little faith that we have. But in 2 Peter, our brother learns and is converted in this and is sold out for the Lord as the Lord works with him and helps him. We see here what our brother writes regarding such. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We need to be adding to our faith. You want to persevere? You want to persevere like Joseph? Joseph wasn't perfect. But I tell you what, there's no condemnation of him in the Scripture. You want to persevere like Daniel? You want to persevere like Job? Tell you what, add to your faith. Don't be satisfied with a little bit of faith. But add to your faith. Add to your faith so that we might persevere. These brethren that persevered well, Abraham, the father of faith, Job, as we mentioned, Joseph, Elijah. What do? They added to the faith, didn't they? They added to their faith. Our brother writes here to add to our faith. In verse number 9, you know what will happen if we don't? But he that lacketh these things, verse number 9, is blind. Don't add to your faith. Don't add to that little bit of saving faith that the Lord's given that you have. Don't add to that. You know what? You'll become blind and cannot see afar off. You can even get to the point that you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. You can forget you were saved. Don't add to your faith. Fiddle around with the world, do the things of the world, pursue that of life, and just do that. And don't add to your faith. Don't follow the Lord. Don't have a mind towards heavenly things, but rather the earthly things. You know what? You'll persevere pretty sorry. You and I will persevere pretty sorry. We got the examples. But you know what? Our Lord will bring us to the end. We're going to be brought to the end. Why? Because we're His. Because we're His. He says here, he that is lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, don't go that route, brethren. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Have you been saved? Are you saved? Do you really love the Lord and does He love you? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus died for you? If you do these things, if you add to your faith, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? I pray for each and every one of us, each and every one of you, that you hear from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want you to persevere well. Those that have faith in Christ will continue to have faith in Christ. Isn't that what we see? But with some, to a greater degree. And with some, to a lesser degree. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Listen here. This tells it the same thing in a different way. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." Why did they speak? They feared the Lord and they talked to one another about the Lord. They talked about the situation that's going on in their land. They sighed and cried, as we saw in Ezekiel, about the wickedness and abominations that are in their land. They had a heart for the things of the world. They didn't look on at the world and say, "Well, okay, it's just the way it is. Interesting how it is. Wonder what I should do." See, they didn't think that way because they're interested in what the Lord thinks. They're interested in what the Lord says. They're interested and saddened because of the disparity of the way the Lord says it ought to be and the way that it is and they're around them. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Those that start in faith are going to end up in faith in the Lord. And that thought upon his name. Do you think about the name of the Lord? You think about him? I've mentioned to you about worshiping our Lord privately. Do you worship your Lord privately? Praise him? Honor him and glorify him? Just thanking for just for being him. Not for all he gives us, not for all he does for us, just that he's God and beside him there's none other as one thing. Listen to this. A book of remembrance for those that fear the Lord, thought on his name. And he says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels." He is going to bring us to him. We who are saved, the saved, will persevere. How? Because of what the Lord's going to do. But you know what? The rest of our time that Peter talks about, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the rest of the time that you have, from the time you're saved to the time the Lord takes you out of here? You want to fiddle around and just piddle life away and just go ahead and do what you want to do and then go on to be with the Lord? I tell you what, if you're saved, you're heading towards Him. Or you're going to take the rest of your time and not live it, as Peter says, to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. I tell you what, the saints are going to persevere. But I want to persevere well, don't you? I do. And the Lord's going to gather his jewels. He said, "I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Those that have faith in Christ will persevere. To the unsaved, these things are not to you. They're most likely misunderstood by you. But you know what? John writes in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, about the Gospels, about the Word of God. He says, and about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." But these are written. What's been written about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. You repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord saves your soul. You will persevere. Perseverance of the saints, the evidence in the Scripture.